Who's ready for the word of the Lord? Well, I'm ready too, and you know, I just pray that the Lord will give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say today. And does anybody know what we've been looking at? Though the screen might be a giveaway right now. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're actually in the middle of a series on the book of Hebrews, and we're actually up to number part 4. How about that? And we've probably got 2 more parts, maybe 3 more parts to go. I love the book of Hebrews, but I'm really looking forward to chapter 11. And chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews is kind of like chapter 8 in the book of Romans. You know, it builds and builds and builds, and then, it comes to this great crescendo of the people of faith in chapter 11. And that's where we're headed, but not today. That's coming in a few weeks' time. Now, if you're new, thank you so much for coming to Real Life Church. We feel honored that you're here. And, you know, when you're doing a series, sometimes, you know, if you come halfway through, you think, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to understand this. But what we're trying to do is, it is a series, it is all linked together, but we're trying to make each part of it complete in itself. So if you're new, just tune in right now, because God wants to bless you and you're going to go home better than the way you've come in today. Amen. I also want to encourage everybody to read the book of Hebrews. Some of you have done that, some of you haven't, and you know, do whatever you want to do, but I just want you to be blessed, I want you to be encouraged, and the book of Hebrews certainly does that. So just read it. Even if there's stuff in the book of Hebrews, and it's like this with the Bible, even if there's some parts of it that you don't fully understand, there's going to be a lot of it that you will understand. I remember many years ago when I was in a church, I used to go to church in Belmont. Actually, Rochelle and I were in the same church, and that's where I first started dating her. She was 12. I was 38. No, she was 12, I was 13. I remember that. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with anything. But when I was a young man, and I was I think 10 years old, just a child, and there was this lady in our church, this very old lady, who, and when you're a child, sometimes you get a bit scared of older people. I just remember being a little bit wary, and because I just was. But my parents always showed great respect for her, and they said she used to be a missionary, and that's all I knew about her. And so I was walking down the aisle after the service. She was still in her seat, and suddenly her arm darted out, grabbed me around my waist, and she pulled me in really close to her. That's really uncomfortable to do to a child. But anyway, I was... But then with sincere look in her eyes, she just wanted me just for 5 seconds. And her words were, I'm just paraphrasing because I can't remember it exactly, but she said this, if you want to get something out of the Word of God, young man, remember that you need to dig deep. If you want the gold in a gold mine, you've got to dig down into the rich veins of gold. Some are just looking for the nuggets on the surface, but the real treasure you will find when you dig deep into the Word of God. And then she let me go. And here we are, 46, 47 years later, and I can still remember what she said. It's the same for the book of Hebrews. The treasure is in there if you're prepared to dig deep. And I think God's done it like that because He tests our heart to see how hungry and thirsty we are for the Word of God. So when you say, oh, I don't understand this, well, there's an opportunity to dig deep and learn about the book of Hebrews. Amen. I never know what happened to that lady. I know where she is. She's with Jesus right now. Amen. Amen. Now, each part of our series on Hebrews, we've been doing a memory verse. And I think this is a pretty good thing to do. And so we've attached a memory verse to each part of it. And we've got another one today. And I just want to encourage you to try and memorize the verses. I was talking to Marika before the service, and she said, it is so hard to memorize the memory verse in the modern versions, but it's easier in King James. Anybody agree with her? Yeah, well, I'll be honest, I actually agree with her too. Now, we're doing our memory verses in the modern version, but if you want to go King James version, do it. If you want to do Amplified version, whatever it is, it's the Word of God, amen? So, you know... I don't care what version you do these memory verses in. But our first memory verse was found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, and it said this. It said, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Can we read that together? Come on, here we go. So Absolutely. So that's quite easy to memorize. The second memory verse we had was even easier. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. Amen. Can we read that together? Here we go. God's promise. Amen. Wonderful. And then last week's memory verse is Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I gave you the wrong address. I said last week it was verse 24. It's verse 25. And therefore, Jesus is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He's able to save you. I'll say it again. He's able to save you once and forever. Amen. Can we read this together? Here we go. Therefore, he is able. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Then today's memory verse is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Can we read this together? Here we go. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Just as a reminder, the book of Hebrews, it's got 13 chapters, was written to Christians who lived in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. And they were under pressure for their faith. Christians around the world today are under pressure for their faith. So Hebrews was actually written to encourage them, and we all need encouragement. And so the writer of Hebrews, what he does is he particularly focuses upon Jesus Christ and how wonderful Jesus is. He reminds us that Jesus is God in the flesh. That's really important. He reminds us that Jesus is supreme, even above the angels. He reminds us that Jesus is our rest as we journey through life. He reminds us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he reminds us that Jesus is also our high priest, and we looked at that last week. And so I do urge you to read the book of Hebrews, and it will encourage you. Today, we're going to land in a passage from Hebrews chapter 10. That means I've jumped over 8 and 9, and into chapter 10. Now, just because we've jumped over chapters 8 and 9, it doesn't mean they're not important. In fact, they're really, really important. But you can read them yourselves later. But we've landed in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And what we're going to do today is we're just going to park ourselves in these verses. So everybody ready? And as we read this, here we go. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can timidly enter boldly. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. I'm just going to want us just to stop there for a moment. And this is not in my notes, but I feel I just need to explain. Can we just go back to, you've got it there, yeah. And so, brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Before we get into the message, I think perhaps I just need to explain what this is saying on the screen because it's got some interesting words like curtain and most holy place. Let me explain what's happening here. The writer of the book of Hebrews, he was a Jewish man, and he was borrowing images and pictures to explain what Jesus has done, and he was borrowing these pictures and images from the Old Testament. The Old Testament of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is still relevant for us today. And he's actually borrowing some images right now. And let me tell you about these images. It was all about God wanting to connect with people. And there's this picture of God wanting to connect with the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And so when people came to worship God, what they'd done, they'd set up a structure. And this structure was a rectangular structure. It was actually quite large. It was made out of tent material. And within it, it had a couple of rooms. And one of them, the rooms, was called the Most Holy Place. You actually have it there on your screen. And in that room was the Ark of the Covenant. It was not a very big room, but separating that room from all of the Israelites was this thick curtain. And it was 4 inches thick, which is probably more like about that. Very, very thick curtain. and only nobody was allowed to go into there, and that's where the presence of God was. And so though Israel worshipped God, they actually couldn't come into his presence at all. It was like God wanted to be their friend. They wanted to be the friend of God, but there was this curtain blocking their way. And we know why the curtain was there, because we spoke about this last week, that God is such a holy God that if anybody was to step into his presence, they would die instantly. And yet you've got this yearning of God wanted to be with his people, and the people wanted to be with God, but the people couldn't come into the most holy place. The only person who could come in there was a man called the high priest, and we spoke a bit about that last week, and he could only come in once a year with the blood of an animal, and he used to be very afraid, and he would somehow get through the curtain and sprinkle the blood of the animal on the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's throne where God was, and then if he did it right and satisfied the Lord, he would pull away. But so you got God in the middle of his people, but the people had no access to God. But centuries later, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And the moment he said that, history says that the curtain from the top to the bottom was ripped in half supernaturally, and it was done so by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus died for the sins of the world. And God was saying, the curtain has been opened, and that's what this verse is all about. Because the curtain has been opened, now people have access to the presence of God and become friends with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's what that's all about. And now it's going to make sense to everything else we're going to read. Everybody good with that? Everybody understood what I said? Yes. Amen. So let's start again. So dear brothers and sisters, that's you and me, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through that curtain into the most holy place. And since we have such a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's another image from the Old Testament. Let's continue. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. May the God bless that reading to us. Today, what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes, we're just going to focus on the four let others. Those four let us statements that's embedded in that passage of scripture that we've just read. That's really tiny print up there, isn't it? Can anybody actually read that? Oh, we've done better than I am. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I've got my notes. The two words, let us, is a call to action. It's a call to respond. Let us. You need to respond. Let us. Let's do something. It's a call to action. And so in view of who Jesus is and in view of what Jesus has done, the writer of the book of Hebrews now is challenging us. He's challenging you. He's challenging me to respond to what we've heard about Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So let's have a look at the let us. Amen. The let us. The first one. First, let us says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. And we can do that because the way is open to God because of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, there's a beautiful story in John chapter 21 of how seven of the disciples of Jesus that went out to fish on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been crucified recently, and they had seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. And so they went back to Galilee, and the disciples decided to fish through the night. But by the morning, after trying to fish, they'd caught nothing. I'd been out with Fritz earlier in the year and caught nothing. Amen. That's one of the reasons why I don't fish. Amen. They caught nothing. So quietly, because they're still confused about Jesus being crucified, his resurrection, the whole thing. You can imagine how they're trying to process everything. Jesus hadn't ascended to heaven just yet. Now they haven't caught any fish and they're good at that and they didn't do it. So quietly, they made their way back to shore, probably feeling flat emotionally. But when they were about 100 meters from the shoreline, they saw Jesus there. But they didn't realize it was Jesus. Perhaps because of the sun hadn't risen properly. But seeing that they had no fish, Jesus suggested that they cast their nets on the other side of the boat. They did, and they caught a lot of fish, 153 the Bible says. And that's when they realized it was Jesus on the shore, and they got excited about that. So they quickly made their way to shore and saw that Jesus had a fire going and that he had made them breakfast. Hash browns, amen, praise God. And then Jesus invited them to join him for breakfast. So what do you do when Jesus invites you to join him for breakfast? You join him. So they sat down. They were hungry anyway. And after fishing all night. Then as they sat down with their friend Jesus early in the morning, the Bible says that Jesus actually served them brekkie. Isn't that neat? Sometimes you have these little throwaway sentences in the Bible, but they're packed. Here he is, the risen Lord and Savior, and he's serving them brekkie. He's ministering to them. He can hear their tummies rumbling, and he's giving them fish and bread. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a picture of what it's like to go into the presence of God, for me at least. Going into the presence of God, remember, we're called to let us go into the presence of God. That's our first letters. Going into the presence of God is not about rituals. It's not about candles. It's not about reciting prayers. And you can do that if you want to. I really mean that. You know, if you're into that, great. But going into the presence of God is like going into the presence of your best friend. And that's why I got the verse on the screen there. The Bible says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And Jesus has opened the way so that you can meet with God in your home. You can meet with God in your car. A lot of you do that on the way to work. You can meet with God at school when you're walking across the oval before you go into class. You can meet with God at university. You can meet with God at work. Out the back of the shed at work or wherever it is that you work. You can meet with God anywhere. And God in Christ, he longs to meet with you. He wants to meet with you. He longs to meet with you each and every day. And it's good that we come together, and I'll talk about this in a moment, for worship, but this is never a substitute for you meeting with Jesus Christ, with God, throughout the week yourself, wherever life may find you. And so, let us, in view of who Jesus is and his invitation to meet with God, let us, as Christians, plan to have encounters with God every day. And that's why the book of Hebrews, that's what the book of Hebrews is urging us to do. And that's a response God is looking for from you. He wants you to seek his face. Now, we all seek God differently. My thing is, I have a routine that I follow every day. And a lot of you are not surprised I have a routine. Amen. I'm a very routine person. But I have a routine that I like to follow. I like to get up before 6. And I get up in the morning. And that's when I first encounter God, first thing in the morning. I encounter God as I sip a cup of coffee, amen, and as I read and meditate upon his word in my office at home. I just have a little room. I call it my office next to the bedroom, and I've got my coffee, got my Bible,
And God is there in my office. It's really, really important to me. And then what I do, I have a little book, and I've just finished one book today, actually the final page. Well, I journal. And what I do is I journal what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to me through the Word of God, which is my favorite verse. And I write it down. I've got books full of these. I just write them down because I want to encounter God. Then I go and get changed, and I get my dogs. They never want to come. I drag them out the door. They're not Christians yet, but anyway. But I'm believing, amen, praise God. And I go for a walk with my dogs every morning, and I encounter God on the streets of Gosnells. And obviously I'm praying, I pray, but I can encounter God in the birds that I see. I encounter God in the beautiful trees and the smells. I encounter God with the sun rising and the cloud formations. Sometimes I encounter God with people who say, good morning, good morning. People are more friendlier in the morning than they are in the afternoon, by the way. If you want to meet friendly people, go for walks in the morning. They're all grumpy in the afternoon, but in the morning they're good. God's there. God's there. God's on the streets of Gosnells. And so that you can encounter God wherever you want to be. And those early morning times with God, that's my highlight of my day. Sorry, that is it. You know, meeting you is really good, but meeting God is better. Amen. And walking with Jesus at the start of the day is always my highlight. So let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. And the question I've got today to us all is, will you respond to this first let us? Will you seek the face of God even this week in Jesus' name? Amen. Our second let us is, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. This second let us is just a constant echo throughout the book of Hebrews. It is part of our call as Christians to persevere in following Jesus. Now, the word hope refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word gospel is a funny word, isn't it? But it simply means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. So our second let us is encouraging us, exhorting us to hold tightly without wavering to the good news of Jesus Christ. One Bible scholar said that this verse could be interpreted this way. He said, and let us hold fast to the gospel, the good news, tightly wrapping our arms around it and embracing it with all our might, rejecting all attempts of anyone who tries to steal it away from us. Amen. What is the good news of Jesus? The gospel in a nutshell says this. The gospel in a nutshell says God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and He rose again from the dead. Everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life, and life with Jesus starts now and lasts for all eternity. It's this good news, it is this gospel with all its many promises that are attached to it that we must hold on to tightly as we journey through life from beginning to end. And I urge you not to let anything steal the gospel away from you, brothers and sisters. Be alert, stay on guard, guard your heart, amen. Watch out for the thieves, do not be deceived by the crafty arguments of the devil. Do not let your own sins cause you to walk away from the gospel. Do not allow suffering in your life to cause you to discard the gospel. Do not allow the behavior of other Christians to steal away the gospel. Do not allow temptation to pull you away from the gospel. Do not allow false religions to confuse away the gospel. Do not let apathy cause you to drift away from the gospel. Do not let discouragement cause you to give up on the gospel. Even if an angel appeared to you and told you another gospel, do not let go of this gospel of Jesus that we read in the Holy Scriptures. Because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus Christ has done, and because of what is at stake, always hold on to the hope of the gospel with determination and tenacity. Always keep persevering in season and out of season. When you're up, when you're down, keep persevering. Simply never, 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 never give up holding on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Therefore, in view of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, and let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Will you respond to these let others in Hebrews chapter 10? Our third and our fourth let others run together. Our third and fourth letter statements say, here we go, you ready? Can you read that? You guys got good eyes. I could see the let us part, amen. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of anger and laziness. To acts of, come on, to acts of love and good works. Number four is, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return, Jesus' return, is drawing near. The 17th century preacher John Donne was right when he famously said, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent." In other words, no one is self-sufficient. Everyone relies on others, and this is especially true of the followers of Jesus Christ. We need each other big time. I say it again. We need each other big time. We need each other big time. We need each other to help bring the best out of each other. Now, I need God to be my friend. So do you. And I need to enter this presence we've just spoken about. And I need to hold on to the gospel, but I also need, and you need, I also need other followers of Jesus Christ in my life too. I need Christian friends to help me make it through life. And Christians, other Christians need me too. Church is not just about me and God. Church is also about we and God. Jesus came, and we struggle with these things, but this is so true. Jesus came to build a community of believers. Jesus did not come to build a bunch of individuals who were doing their own thing. He came to build a community of believers. And we're all connected together through the blood of Jesus Christ to be the sons and daughters of the living God, and together we are inheritors of the promise of God. Jesus is coming back for the bride of Christ, not brides of Christ. One is a community together. Amen. Therefore, church is about me and God, and it's also about me and you, and it's also about you and God. That's church. Now, generally, we like the let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. We like that first letters that I spoke about, God being our friend. We can mostly handle, let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. We can kind of do that, yeah. But we really struggle with the last two letter statements. We struggle, come on, if we're going to be honest, we struggle with, let us think of ways to motivate one another to love and good works. I wonder if there's anybody here today, this is a rhetorical question, if on your way you thought, Lord, I wonder how I can motivate other Christians to love and good works. I wonder, you know. We struggle with, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that David's returned to draw near. We're cool with the first two, but so is second two, you know, the second part of the four that we struggle with. Everybody know what I'm talking about? And you know why we struggle with it? Do you want me to tell you why you struggle with it? We struggle with them because they demand that we connect with other people who are flawed. Sometimes the pain's in the neck and imperfect. And Sometimes we find other people quite frustrating and annoying. Is there anybody here who's brave enough to raise their hand and say, yes, I find other people? Who's sitting next to somebody right now that you find really frustrating? Okay. That's why we have so many problems. And yet, these last two out of the four are as important as the first two. It's a call to respond. And that's why Jesus said, the world will know you, my disciples, if you have loved one another. And the reason why the world will know that, because the world knows only disciples of Jesus have any hope of loving other people. It takes a miracle. Indeed, it takes something special to put aside your preferences, to put aside your prejudices, to put aside your irritations, to put aside your selfishness, and to choose respect and love for other followers of Jesus Christ. It takes something special to do that, and that something special is a decision to surrender your heart and life to God and respond to the book of Hebrews is asking us to do so. Truth is, even if people are painful, I'm a pastor, come on. Do you want me to show you all the knives I've got in my back? There you go. But truth is, we need each other. We really need each other with our flaws and with our imperfections. Even that person who drives you crazy is playing a role in your life. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. And we desperately really need each other's prayers. That's something we could do. We need to cheer each other on. Come on, Far. You did really good today. Hey, come on, Far. We need each other's kindness. We need each other's smiles. Can we just practice that right now? Everybody just smile. We need encouragement. We need forgiveness. We need mercy from each other. You know the giant redwood trees of the Western United States? They're big trees, right? Yeah, they're really big. They're bigger than the carry trees, you know? Carry trees, I think they're the biggest hardwood trees in the world. They're the biggest softwood trees in the world, biggest trees of all. They're in Western United States, but these big trees, as big as they are, they actually have a relatively shallow root system. And the reason why these big trees don't fall over so much is because their enormous weight is supported, partly at least, by the interlocking of the tree's roots with those of the other trees around it. As Christians, we need interlocking roots with other believers in the church to withstand the enormous weight of life. We need others, whether we admit it or not, we need others to motivate us to acts of love and good works in a world that's so bent on self-centeredness and self-gratification. So let us be intentional about encouraging one another. Let's cheer each other on when we're reflecting Jesus. Let's provide examples to inspire each other towards acts of love and good works. Now I want to give everybody just 5 seconds right now to think of something you could say to somebody that would encourage them. Just think of something. Maybe something you could say to the person next to you. But just think of it, 5 seconds. What could you say that's encouraging? Okay, now just release that encouragement to somebody right now. Come on, jump. Just whisper it to them. Come on. Far's by yourself, Rochelle. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Thank you. Nobody said anything to Nick. Nick's been by himself. Can somebody think of something to say? I could think of something to say. Mate, you were playing a mean guitar this morning. That was really good. In fact, you do it every week and you're getting better and better. What have you got? Where's George?
Very funny.
Thing is, ladies and gentlemen, to encourage and to be encouraged, then we need to stay connected to God's community. Let us stay connected to God's community. Don't neglect to come and meet together. When Hebrews was written to the church in Rome, the Christians were under severe persecution. Some had even been jailed, and worse was to come. Some had had their property confiscated. Nero was on the rise. He was just on the horizon. Everybody knew what a madman he was. So out of fear, some of the Christians had stopped meeting with other Christians. It was too scary to do that. And yet the writer to the Hebrews was addressing this situation, urging them, no, don't stop coming. Keep meeting together so you can avoid becoming isolated. When you become isolated, you become vulnerable to the attacks of the wicked one. You've got to stay with the herd. You know, I spoke about this the other Sunday, but you know, I've watched those David Attenborough shows. Amen. Anybody? Yeah. My wife can't stand him, but I'm all right with him. Amen. But I've seen the shows where those lions are going around the herd, whatever they are, deers or whatever, other animals. But what they do is they look for the one that's wandered off by itself. They look for the weak one. And when they're upon the poor little animal, it's too late. He's separated from the herd. We've got to stay connected. So today, around the world, Christians are under pressure. For example, in Uzbekistan, the persecution against Christians is so severe that Christians in the cities actually have to meet in the back of vans that drive around. They leave their mobile phones at home and they drive around in vans and have their church services in the back of vans so that they will not be caught by the authorities. How about that? And obviously, we don't have that kind of persecution going on here in Australia. But what we do have, listen carefully to this, what we do have is that we have a powerful infiltration of worldly thinking into the modern Western church, where people see church as a take it or leave it event, rather than understanding that the church is God's community on earth. It's a community, God's community, that engages together around a regular sacred event, our church service, communion. It's also a community that engages together in other places and times throughout the week. Places like at a cafe, or the shops, or at a gym. It's a community that's built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. We are the church. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let's not forsake coming together, but let's come together and encourage each other in Jesus' name. This is what the Bible says about God's community. How wonderful and how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. There is a unique and powerful favor of God that comes upon a community of people who recognize Jesus Christ in one another. So therefore, in view of who Jesus is, and in view of what Jesus Christ has done, let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Four-letter statements. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, will you respond to these statements today? Let us pray. Come on, Real Life Church, let us pray. These are statements directly from the Bible. They're not me making them up or anything like that. And the statements for every body of believers, all the churches, and it's the same as for us here at Real Life Church today. Can we all just stand, and we're just going to pray. Come on, everybody just stand. And a moment ago, you just said some words of encouragement to one another, and I hope that was encouraging. But as we're just praying right now, how about just lifting the person next to you or around you, whether you know them or not, why don't you pray for them right now? That's a good way to help motivate people. Pray for them. They'll do acts of love and good works. Just pray. Just pray. Just for the next 15 seconds. Come on, just pray for one another. Dear Father, we just thank You for the book of Hebrews. It encourages us, but it also confronts us and challenges us. And we thank You for Your holy word today. And Lord, we just want to respond as a church to You. We want to do what You've asked us to do. We do want to meet with You. We want to seek Your face. Yeah, we're going to do that. And Lord, we want to hold on to the gospel. And Lord, we know the enemy is always trying to steal it away from us. But today we determine within ourselves that through thick and thin, Lord, we're holding on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we recognize too that we're not the only ones who've had our sins washed away. Lord, we know in our own church, Lord, that you've washed other people's sins away and that we together are the body of Christ. And not only that, Lord, we recognize that we're not the only church. We thank you, Lord, for wonderful churches here in Gosnells and throughout our nation. Lord, we thank you for the churches around the world. We thank you, Lord, that there is one body, one church, one bride of Christ. And Father, we don't want to just be pew warmers. We want to encourage one another in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we want to respond positively to these challenges today. And Lord, we want to be in the community. Lord, we've got a lot of going on. There's a lot of options. But Lord, we just want to just reorder our lives. And we are under pressure. But Lord, we reorder our lives. And Lord, we make meeting with your community a priority once again today. We're going to be coming to church. And Lord, when we come, we're going to encourage one another in the name of Jesus. And Father, that blessing in Psalm 133, we pray that blessing upon our community here as well. We pray that you will open up the windows of heaven over Real Life Church. And we pray that you'll take us together as a community into heights in you, Lord, places in you that we've never been before. I pray, Lord, upon each person here and their families, the peace of Almighty God. And I pray that this year will be a year for growing in our faith in Jesus as we follow these let others that we've heard today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,